Why is it that it is strange or, I guess, exceptional that the Supreme Court is reviewing this case in the first place?
The Supreme Court normally takes cases for a select set of reasons. One of those, very typically, is that two different circuits, courts of appeals, have come to different answers on the same important legal question, so there's a split in the circuits, and the Supreme Court gets involved. In this case, we don't have any circuit split. Second thing that is very important in this case is that the decision by the circuit court, which is a three-judge panel, was unanimous, and the decision itself was written by Judge Sentell, who is a, you know, storied conservative justice, a Reagan appointee, disciple of Jesse Helms. Like, this is a conservative justice who conservatives point to as a thought leader. Third, and possibly most important, this case is kind of the legal equivalent of vanilla ice cream. The Supreme Court takes only a very small percentage of cases, and those are to target, right, you know, important, great legal debates type of cases. And this case is really about whether an agency acted correctly, and there are thousands of cases like that out there. The district court and the circuit court, you know, they relied on the existing precedents from the Supreme Court. These are long-standing precedents. They used very straightforward legal analysis. So legally, there's really nothing interesting here. It's hard to understand what the Supreme Court could be interested in, you know, that hasn't already been, you know, asked of them thousands of times before.
And before we get into the, I guess, the nuts and bolts of it, I do want to clear up that this case essentially isn't someone suing the state of Arkansas saying that this requirement's unconstitutional or illegal or anything like that. Is it either against HHS or is it against the Trump administration? I know there's some question of someone of either of those two organizations sort of possibly overexerting their authority in granting the waivers to the states to allow for work requirements.
The sequence here, it is a complicated question. The lawsuits were filed against the administration, HHS, for their approval of these policies in several states, you know, Arkansas being one, New Hampshire being another. Once we filed that lawsuit against HHS, the states, in many cases, asked the court if they could also intervene in the lawsuit. And basically, what they do is they step in and they co-defend alongside of HHS. So even though we initially only sued HHS in federal court, the states have joined HHS, so to speak.
You said basically that, you know, the petitions don't merit a review because they should not be allowed to stand clearly. So I guess if that's the case, then why has this gone up so far? You know, why has it reached the Supreme Court level?
So, you know, the truth is I'm not sure. It's very hard to know who even is asking for review and what perspective they have. Certainly one argument we heard was that this case has happened several times in the same circuit and that the states or HHS have had difficulty in transferring the case to another circuit. So they're sort of saying, so there's not a circuit split, but only one circuit has reviewed it. And there's been several cases and they've all been in the same circuit. So, you know, that's one argument that I've heard.
Because it is, as you said, sort of being trapped in the same circuit and always having sort of the same outcome, is this really the only process to resolve this case by going to the Supreme Court?
The case has been resolved. I mean, the circuit court, you know, ruled in a unanimous ruling. So from my point of view, at that point, the case was resolved. You know, if it hadn't gone to the Supreme Court, of course, another state or another approval could have come in through another circuit, depending on who filed, depending on how it played out and whether the case was transferred. So I don't know that it needed any more resolution than it already had.
Sure. Yeah, I guess by resolved, I mean, I guess, prevent any further legal challenges or to, I guess, effectively, you know, put a stop once and for all to states trying to implement Medicaid work requirements.
One of the other important things that sits in parallel to that question, right, is it's important for people to understand that states are making a request to implement work requirements, but this is ultimately HHS's decision. And the reason that's significant is that when a new administration comes in, and President-elect Biden has said publicly that he is not going to continue this policy, a state could not just initiate this policy on its own. It needs to get a federal approval to do it. And if President-elect Biden doesn't end up being willing to issue any approvals, then that also is a way that this situation prospectively resolves itself. Again, I can't predict what's going to happen, but that is an issue that will complicate this.
Then I guess because Arkansas was the only state to actually implement the work requirement, will that hold any sway or anything? Will the implications of the work requirement, you know, the statistics of X number of people lost their health insurance, X people moved to the workforce, will that just have any place in this court case?
It certainly is a really important and relevant fact. So the reason that the ultimate reason that we won these cases is that the authority the administration used to implement these work requirements is an authority that says you can run pilot programs that promote coverage. And they implemented work requirements, you know, in Kentucky that the state of Kentucky predicted would result in 95,000 people losing their health insurance. The ones in Arkansas that resulted in, you know, in fact, 20,000 people or so losing their health insurance. Ones in New Hampshire that were about to result in another 20,000 people losing their health insurance. So what they did very clearly was not promoting coverage. It was the exact opposite of promoting coverage. It was taking coverage away from people and therefore not consistent with the authority they used to actually do the waivers. So the fact that in the amount of time that this was turned on in Arkansas, and you have to recognize that Arkansas was only terminating people for about a four-month window. And in that four-month window, they terminated 20,000 people. And that was out of a cohort that was ballpark 80,000-85,000 people. We're talking about a termination rate that was above 20%. So that fact should be very relevant to any court that is looking at the law here and sort of trying to match what the legal requirement is for the administration and what they were actually doing. And that is the gap that was the basis for the decision by Judge Sentell, the conservative justice in the circuit court, who wrote that unanimous opinion. You know, we don't know what the outcome would be just because they took the case, as we talked about, right? We don't know who asked for cert and why and all that. But, you know, I think you have to, there are two things I would flag. The first is, does the Supreme Court want to issue a decision allowing people to have their health insurance taken away because they can't document employment when we're in the middle of a pandemic where unemployment, right, has surged and we have, you know, historic numbers of people still filing unemployment claims. And that's relevant not just, you know, from the, like, kind of moral, obvious logic point of view, but it's also relevant because, you know, states are currently under a maintenance of effort obligation related to the stimulus money they got. And what that means is the states are actually not allowed to terminate people right now. So even if the Supreme Court did green light this policy, it actually can't even go into effect while there's a public health emergency going on under the current law. So I'm not, that's one reason to think that, you know, maybe the Supreme Court actually will not want to walk into this situation. The other point gets at something you raised earlier, this topic of, like, why the Supreme Court might want to be doing this, or, you know, what type of new precedent might they be trying to set. You know, as I said, we don't know who asked for cert. There's obviously a majority of conservative justices on the court now, so if we assume that some conservative justices were behind the votes to grant cert, this is actually a really complicated case for a conservative justice. Once the Supreme Court justices look more carefully at this case, right, what they're going to see is something that conflicts with their kind of conservative jurisprudence and doctrine, right, which is that agencies are restricted to the letter of the law. We want to keep agencies in check. We want to keep the bureaucracy small, right? And to side with the Trump administration here, they would basically be granting agencies authority to play fast and loose with the statute, right? We're the ones who are saying, listen, the statute has clear language and everybody has to comply with that language. And it's the Trump administration that's saying, no, let's just let them play, you know, loose with the statute and let's just kind of overlook the statute. And that's the exact opposite of what the conservative jurisprudence is, you know, at any level, including the Supreme Court level. The statute is really clear that this authority is restricted to something that promotes coverage. So either that statutory language means something or it doesn't. And the approach of conservative judges has always been, we read the text of the statute and we don't allow anybody to spin off of that based on, you know, what they thought congressional intent actually was. Or, you know, so I think there are a lot of reasons why we can just not know the outcome of how this, what direction the Supreme Court would go with it based on the case that's in front of them as they look into it, you know, more carefully.